Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network.
Everybody, it's The Voice, and I am at a new location this week. I've been on the road quite a bit for the past few weeks, and it's always good to visit new places, I think, anyways. I'm always looking for new beer to enjoy, and my search led me today to Hand of Fate Brewery in Petersburg, Illinois. Just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Springfield. So we're near the state capital and about a 45-minute drive down the road from my house. So this is my first visit here. I was sent here on great recommendation from some of our friends of the show, Mr. Brewmaster Brian from White Oak and Kyle Wilkinson at the Harvest Cafe, our friend F.U. Kyle. They had high praise for this place, so I thought, you know what? I need to come check it out. And luckily, the guys here were cool with it. So joining me today, we've got Mike Allison.
Hello.
And Brandon Lavely.
How are you doing?
All right. And we're going to be here. We're going to drink some of their beers, talk about it, get a little history of the place, and take you guys along for the ride. And as every episode, we are sponsored by Distill Brewery. And Distill was founded in Bloomington, Illinois. Has been boycotting Bland since 2013. Their hard work and craftsmanship has led to a wide array of beers that are anything but bland. From their Wild Sour line to the barrel-aged St. Decara series, Distill's award-winning beers include something for everyone. With options like Weisenheimer, Vertex IPA, Syncopathic, and Dos Vidania, Distill doesn't disappoint. So we here at Drunken Lullabies encourage you to boycott Bland alongside us. Support flavor. Drink Distill. All right, and for all you Drunkomaniacs at home, we have the drinking game in effect for you. So, anytime one of us swears, take a drink.
Shit.
Yep. Anytime there's a pop culture reference or an impression is made, take a drink. Anytime there's an audible expulsion of gas, you take a drink. And anytime the word of the day is said, you have to take a drink as well. And I'm going to make the word of the day hand. I think that should be fair. All right, so get your beers ready and follow along. You'll know it's time to turn the page when you hear a chime ring like this. And that just means it's time for me to play Spin the Bottle.
Beer makes us fired up, so come on, drink it all night long. Slam it, girl. 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 Where's the marching band at? Pound that beer. Pound that beer. Don't drunk dial, no. Pound that beer. Pound that beer.
All right, well, this is usually the time of the show where we play Spin the Bottle, brought to you by Iron Spike out of Galesburg, Illinois. But I've had a rough morning, so I am going to fall on the sword, so to speak. Not really. I'm just saying I'm going to chug. Had a long day, had to change a flat tire, had a delay at a restaurant. I got here a half hour late. These guys were very understanding about it, but fuck it, I need a beer, and I'm going to chug the Light Rail Cream Ale from Iron Spike, 5%, so this will get things going, and yeah, bottoms up. Usually I chug out of a glass. That's old school.
That's a little tougher.
All right. Okay, so we've done that. The alcohol's coursing through my veins. We'll get a little loose here. But we have, looks like, five great beers lined up for you guys to hear about. And Mike, what are we drinking first?
I think first we're going to start out with our Coffee Vanilla Dream Ale.
Okay.
Cream Ale is one of our flagship beers. in Mid-America, everybody's got to have that light, approachable beer. A lot of the local breweries, you know, Blondes, Kolsch, stuff like that, we want to do something different. Being in Central Illinois, I mean, what better beer to have as a flagship beer is a beer with corn in it.
Right.
So that's why we chose Cream Ale. It's a great base for a lot of different things. People who are not used to craft beer seem to go for the Cream Ale. Our Vanilla Dream Ale is our Cream Ale that we add vanilla to afterwards. It is our biggest seller in the tap room. My favorite of the three is the Coffee Vanilla Dream Ale. And we actually add whole bean, hazelnut, vanilla, coffee beans to the bright tank.
Okay.
And it's gives you a wonderful nose, doesn't change the color of the beer, smells like walking into your favorite coffee shop.
Excellent.
And has a lot of the same flavors. So
I don't have a favorite coffee shop, though. So that reference is going to be lost on me. I don't know where I'm going to be walking into. But let's see. This one here.
My wife says Gloria Jeans.
Gloria. Oh, yeah. That takes me back to the Northwood Shopping Mall in Peoria. I hated walking by that place. I just was never a fan of coffee, but then I got older. I like coffee beers in doses. Like, they're not my go-to. there we go. Always after the chug. And, yeah, I never started drinking coffee, I think because I knew it would cost me money, and I already spent enough on beer. That's like, I don't need to develop a taste for something else that's expensive, and something else for me to obsess over. Now, are you guys both coffee drinkers?
I am a coffee drinker,
I am, but I have a tendency to go towards the flavorful coffees, not the cheap black Casey's coffee, you know. So it's something like this coffee-wise that I've been drinking that's...
No Dunkin' Donuts for you.
No Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, this is really nice. The color will throw you off with, you know, you're getting the coffee on the nose, and it's a very smooth and sweet coffee taste, you know, like you dumped a bunch of creamer in it.
They ask for, you know, the coffee vanilla Dream Ale, and it comes out, and it's golden in color.
Right.
And they're like, it's not a coffee beer.
Yeah.
No, it is.
No, it is. Beer. Yeah, this is very nice. And did you say what the ABV on this one is?
This is... 5.1, I think.
You had to look. Yeah. You don't even know off the top of your head. You just make too many beers, man.
We do have a lot of beers.
Yeah. All right. Now, tell us a little bit about Hand of Fate. How did it get started? You know, how did you choose this location? How long you been brewing? All that fun stuff.
Well, as I think a lot of the breweries that are opening now, I started out home brewing. I had been doing it for about 8 years. Kind of fell in love with it, started competing. Like, the first competition that I joined was actually For What It's Worth.
Okay.
I remember meeting Brian Ballard, then going up and taking beers up to him.
Yep, friend of the show.
Kind of fell in love with it, and I think early on I kind of had in the back of my head that I would like to do this. Flip side of that, I was a funeral director for 22 years.
Interesting.
And worked for somebody else. So, you know, it was a family-owned one, but not my family. I've been there long enough that I wasn't going to go any place farther.
Okay.
I was tired of being on call all my life.
That's a job that would make you want to drink, I would think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just being around.
And
that
people hate seeing you.
Right. Right,
man, I really like you, but
exactly.
I hate seeing you.
Right.
So we started kind of looking to do this, and the name of the brewery has a couple meanings to us.
Okay.
Part of it is the circumstances that kind of fell into place for this to open.
Mm-hmm.
We'd looked at doing something. Talked to several different people about possible partnerships. Nothing ever really panned out. We'd just about given up on it. And then I met my landlord when her dad died.
Okay.
And she actually doesn't live here now. She lives in Chicago, but she grew up here. And we were sitting around the table talking about the upcoming funeral. And I mentioned that I was going to be in Chicago that weekend for Swanza Day.
Okay.
And I explained to her how Cantillon is my favorite brewery in the world.
Yeah, we've had some of their beers on the show before. We had some loons smuggled in, or whatever. They got here somehow, and we enjoyed them.
Yeah,
it was some good stuff.
But she finally, she's like, "You're awfully excited about that." I said, "Well, I am. You know, I'm a home brewer. I'm a beer geek." And she said, "Well, Petersburg sure could use a place like that." I said, "Yeah, it's kind of funny. I've been looking to do that." We start talking about buildings that were available, buildings that I'd looked at, and I mentioned that I liked the old Dollar General, which is what this place was. And she asked, "Why do you like that building? It's hideous." He it's just an eyesore. I'm like, well, it's got concrete floors, it's got tall ceilings, wide open space, it's a
brick.
It's a blank slate.
Yeah, you can see what it could become.
And she's like, huh. She said, my dad built that building. So it was kind of like, that was kind of the first step of
right.
it. Like most of the other buildings around town got wooden floors. It just don't work for the kind of equipment that we want to put into. A couple weeks later, she came back in and asked if I was interested in buying the building. I said, I can't afford to buy the building, fix the building up, buy brewery equipment and all that. And she said, well, I want to buy it. Would you be interested in leasing? And after that, everything just kind of became easy. Just fell into place. So we came in. We did all the demolition work in here.
Okay.
So it saved her tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
In turn, I didn't pay a penny until the day I opened.
Yeah.
Which is huge because so many brewers I see going through the process, like I'm going broke just trying
exactly.
to get to the place
yeah,
that I can open.
It takes a year, you know,
yeah,
for some places.
It took us about a year and a half from breaking ground to permits to opening our doors. So that's, you know, kind of the story. So for the hand of fate for us, on the other side, we wanted to be able to tie ourselves into our small town of Petersburg.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln's overdone. If you live around here, it's Lincoln shoved down your throat. We like the story of how Petersburg got its name. That was two guys, Peter Lukens and George Warburton, were instrumental in getting the town up going, actually had the surveying done, and they started arguing about who got to name the town. History says that they were notorious drunks, and so they settled it like drinking men often do. They played a hand of cards to decide who got to name it. We're not Georgetown, so we know that Peter
right.
Lukens won the hand of cards. So that's the hand of fate for Petersburg.
Okay. Yeah, that's very apropos then. And you mentioned Lincoln. You know, we're in the heart of Lincoln country, land of Lincoln.
Indeed.
New Salem, not very far away from here. Springfield, not very far. And you told me there's actually some tables in here that are from the New Salem.
Old New Salem Lodge. It was tore down back in the early 80s, and an older cabinet maker here in town, getting close to retiring, and he was looking to get rid of some of this wood he had, and it's beautiful, rough-hewn oak with nail holes that was part of this New Salem Lodge that was tore down 30 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's cool when, you know, you can bring part of, you know, the area's heritage in and these old found objects and that, and, you know, it gives it, you know, a more lived in and homey feel, and that's what you're wanting being here in Petersburg. You want, it's not a Granite City Brewing Company, you know, this is your guys' gig, and you are doing your own thing, and the town's very, very receptive to what you guys have been doing here.
Yeah, we heard a lot of, can't believe you're doing this in Petersburg.
Yeah.
You know, I love the small town. When I was working both jobs when we opened. So I was putting in 40 plus hours a week as a funeral director, coming down here at night, building the place, brewing, preparing to open, and then for the first few months, running the brewery and down there. And so it made sense for me to do it, you know, a block away from where my other job was.
Okay.
August 31st, I did retire from that because I was struggling to keep up here. We'd have 4 or 5 beers on tap, and I could never get my 12 taps filled.
Right.
So I did leave then, and after a few months, I realized that I still needed help back there, so that's when I hired Brandon on.
Okay.
To
you local as well?
No, I'm not really local from around here. I live here in Petersburg, and this is definitely home now, but I'm actually from Richmond, Virginia area.
Yeah, I detected a little bit of a different dialect.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if that was what region you were hailing from.
Yeah, grew out in the hills out in Virginia for a little bit there. So yeah, this is home sweet home now. My wife's from Denver, Colorado, and we've kind of made this our, you know.
Nice
old.
You're both far away from home, so that way it's fair, you know.
Yep.
Keeping the peace. All right, well, what's the next one you got lined up for us?
I think the next one we'll go to is Fleur de Fate, which is our French Saison.
Okay.
Mostly French Saison. We use French malts in it, French Saison yeast, and then we use Sriracha hops.
Oh, okay.
So,
and this is a little stronger, 7.5%.
7.5.
A little bit more of a kick to it. Very smooth.
It's one of my favorites at times, especially in the summer.
Yeah.
I like the French Saison yeast brings out some peppery notes and a little bit of citrus.
Mm-hmm.
And drinks real well, and it's been really
yeah, and
popular
some
beer.
Some Saisons I come across are a little too funky.
Yeah.
For me, this one, whatever the funk is, I dig it. It's light on the funk and just straight smooth drinking. Cause yeah, like you said, this would be a great summer day beverage, hanging out, barbecuing, and you know.
Shortly after we opened, this beer did not have a name, and so we had a competition.
Okay.
For the people coming in here to enter names for it, and that's how the name was chosen.
Okay. Did they win? Like a growler or something?
Yeah, actually, I think we gave him a $50 gift card. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep. That'll fill a few growlers,
yes,
then.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
For sure.
And we have three red wine barrels that we're aging a version of this in with lots of different fauna, let's just say. And that beer will be Flirty Funk.
Okay. Interesting. And with most sours and that, you never know exactly what the timetable is going to be on that.
Yeah.
You'll know it's right when you taste it.
It's actually getting pretty close to us bottling it.
Okay.
And then of course waiting on those bottles to condition and mm-hmm. be ready to sell.
Excellent.
So we're thinking probably midsummer, but we got three different barrels, all treated a little bit differently, all have different characteristics. So it's one of those things that our plan is to do a limited number of each individual barrel.
Okay.
And then blend the rest together for the main Flirty Funk. And then you have a limited number of four packs available.
Nice.
It'll give you barrel A, barrel B, barrel C.
Yeah.
And then the blend.
And then you get some friends together and do like a vertical tasting.
Yes,
there.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Now, have you guys done much bottling, or is that going to be the first?
That is, we have not done any bottling yet.
Okay.
We worked on getting a couple labels designed for some of our higher alcohol beers when we started off with Wee Heavenly.
If you don't have a graphic designer, I know a guy.
Awesome. Well, we have one guy's working, but we'd like to kind of mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So Wee Heavy, Loopy for Lupulin. We got there's a gentleman here who actually hybridizes Lilies and Hostas.
Okay.
And so he's drawing, he's an artist also, he's nice. Hand drawing up our Fleur de Fate label.
Cool.
We got a friend up in Chicago working on our Tipping Cows. Milk Stout, which is an interesting label. It looks like a Far Side cartoon.
Okay. Very cool.
So in the near future, we start getting bottles out. We have a limited number of kegs going out to area bars.
Okay.
We're just looking.
How far of a radius do those?
Right now, it's basically Springfield and a few surrounding small towns.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't think I'd see anything make its way to Tazewell or Peoria County.
No.
So I figured it was probably Sangamon.
Yeah, eventually work our way up to Delavan and Spirited Republic, and then start working farther up there.
Excellent. So. Very, very cool. All right. And you guys also do growler fills here, of course.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, if people want to make the trip out and, you know, have a flight and take some home, you're certainly able to do that here, and I encourage it. I'll probably be doing the same. So while we finish our Saison here, what we will do is let you guys listen to the first song of the show from our band of the week. And this week, we've got a band called Nothington, and they are on Red Scare Records. They had a new album come out on February 17th called In the End. And just to give you a little bit of background here, Jay Northington and Chris Matulich formed Nothington in 2006, and it was clear from the very beginning that these gritty anthems were connecting with audiences, and the band received a great response from listeners and peers alike. They hit the road and developed a synergy that is evident on their sophomore release, Road, Bridges, and Ruins. On this release, we saw the rise of co-vocalist Chris, who brought melody and nuance to their sound and made them contemporaries with bands like Gaslight Anthem and Menzingers. Armed with two songwriters and two singers, Nothington jumped to Chicago label Red Scare for 2011's Borrowed Time. We'll hear a song off of that album later. And this was a breakout release. And by then, the band was so popular in Europe that they frequently made transatlantic trips and were getting tour, you know, getting to tour with a lot of mainstream bands. So, In the End is their first full-length studio album in 5 years. They took some time off. They've been playing, they played 1,000 sweaty shows with bands like the Lawrence Arms, and they decided to get back at it, and we're going to play the first song I heard off the new record, and this is Cobblestones here on Drunken Lullabies.
And with that said, drink your fucking beer.
We'll do it. That was Nothington with Cobblestones, and we are going to drink some more beer. Mike, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I think we're going to go to Loopy.
Loopy.
Which is
right here.
Loopy from Lupula.
Now, Brandon, are you a hophead? What's your beers of choice?
My beers of choice are definitely IPAs.
Okay.
And Belgians. I
like okay. Belgian so this is this is probably one of your
Loopy
favorites.
Loopy is one of my favorite IPAs. That's kind of what got me really coming down here and liking Mike's beer a lot, and eventually getting hired on was. His Loopy for Lupulin was just a very good IPA, and mm-hmm. I've had a lot of different style IPAs, and this one was very smooth and more sweeter East Coast style versus mm-hmm. West Coast style, and I liked it. It was drawn to a delicious beer. So
excellent.
Yeah, this is actually at the tail end of this batch, and the next one's coming up pretty soon. And as a highly hopped IPA does, it changes from week to week.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes on, it is murky and dank. And
yeah.
Just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I've had a few chances where, you know, having a one day old IPA or a 2 day old, and it's just like, yeah, it doesn't get much better than that. Yeah. So this one is 8.1%. We got 107 IBUs. Not too bad.
Yeah. Mostly late edition, mm-hmm. And mostly Citra.
Yeah, I'm getting the Citra. That's that's usually my go-to hop. I love the bright citrus beers. I mean, I like some West Coast style, but I'm more East Coast on my IPAs for sure.
Yeah. Our other one that we're not drinking in this flight is Juicier. Well, actually, yeah. Juicy is our American Pale Ale, and it's mostly Meridian hops, which is a hop that a lot of people aren't familiar with. I ran into it and fell in love with it as a home brewer. Juicier is a little stronger version. It was made to an IPA, and not only was it dry hop with Meridian, but we also threw some Simcoe in with it too. And it's got strong, kind of like tangerine and pineapple flavor.
Nice.
And, it's a
yeah. I'll probably be trying that after we're done with the show. Just saying.
We'll go back to Brandon here.
Yeah.
You said they're coming down here. Brandon came in here with zero brewing experience.
Okay, so you were just a beer fan and wanted to get more into the business.
Yeah, I was a beer fan and a mechanic. That was my old
trend.
And I am, we get along great, complete opposite as, I don't know, I think creative people kind of are.
Yeah.
An unorganized mess. He is the czar of sanitation and organization. He came in, whipped my shit into shape. He was a clutchman on Tim Wilkerson's Top Fuel funny car for years. So,
really?
So very process oriented.
Yeah.
Very detailed. Everything's done perfectly and, you know, quickly. And I was like, that's exactly what I need. He learns quick and won't be long before he'll be brewing on his own.
There you go.
It's been fun to learn, that's for sure.
And how long have you been here since?
Since November.
Okay.
About Thanksgiving. Around that area is when I got hired on here and learned a lot. And definitely a fun opportunity to learn a trade that I don't know. And
for sure.
Though he has brewing in his family. He found out after starting here that, was it a great uncle?
Yeah.
A moonshiner?
No,
he said he was from the hills in Virginia.
This goes back across the sea.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was my great uncle was a brewmaster for a brewery up in Newcastle. And Newcastle Brewing actually bought that brewery.
Really?
And so I found out about this from my mother after I got hired on here and was a little shocked that, you know, kind of, I
guess,
cool. In my blood a little bit.
Yeah, so. Following the family legacy indirectly.
Yeah.
I think, I just come from a long line of drinkers. I guess that's my legacy. It skipped a generation, which is odd. Like, neither of my parents drank. There was never beer or anything. My dad,
my house.
He had a job to where he was on call all the time, like especially in the winter, driving snow plows and stuff like that. So if he had any alcohol in his system,
he could work.
He could lose his special class license. So yeah, he would have an occasional beer while making fish or, you know, something like that at a cookout, but that was it. And then, I didn't start really getting into craft beer until I was in my 30s. I drank some domestics in my early 20s and stuff. And then I quit for a while and then got back into it. I'm like, you know, if I'm going to I'm going to drink. I'm going to do it right. And let's see what's out there.
Yeah.
And fast forward so many years, and I've been doing this podcast for a year and a half, and I go on brewery road trips and do all this kind of stuff. And what I like, you know, you're talking about Petersburg. My girlfriend and I, we went to Michigan, and we were doing a brewery road trip. Excellent. And we hit, I think, like 12 or 13. But these are the kind of ones that we look for. Because, like, you'll go to the major cities, and you know you'll find a couple there.
Yeah.
But you got to find those places halfway between to break up your drive. And this is exactly what this is. If somebody was going from, you know, Chicago to Bloomington or something. Well, no, because we're south. You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
If you're traveling around, this is one that's like, quote unquote, a little off the beaten path, but it's still on a close to a major high, you know, highway and route and everything. And it's worth taking that little detour. And usually they're in really awesome little towns that have like these main street bustling districts like, you know, you used to see and you don't really see anymore. But I think a lot of towns are starting to revitalize that. You know, it's kind of charming, and people are wanting to go back to the way things were a little bit.
And a lot of times places like our place, and we're hearing this from a lot of the people around here, is bringing the town back to life, because people are coming in. We have people who've lived here all their lives will be here on a Friday or Saturday night, and this place is packed, and they're like, I don't know anybody in here, and I know everybody in town.
Right, yeah.
So it's, I mean, a perfect example that we learned was, you know, Greenbush up in Sawyer, Michigan.
That was the first place we went on our trip.
Awesome.
Was Greenbush. We had lunch there. It was super, super cool. And they have, like, the whole run of that block.
Yeah.
There's, like, the store across the street, and then like the brewery headquarters, and then they have the brew pub and restaurants, and it's like, this is awesome. Like they pretty much have this whole section of the town.
And they like turn the town around.
Yeah.
I mean, it's we've been there and there's buses showing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, it's amazing. And like, hope we can do a little bit of the same thing for, you know, for Petersburg.
Yeah.
It was turning to the typical small town a couple of years ago. Half the businesses were vacant on the square.
Right.
Every single one is full now. We had a couple little boutiques just open up.
Okay.
And there's some other promising things coming that make it worthwhile for people to come here and spend the weekend.
And like, your guys' success can help influence and lead, you know, the better one business does, it opens opportunities.
Absolutely.
So it's a domino effect, and the town could have a lot of really cool stuff going on. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm fine with going to breweries and industrial districts. You know, that's what I'm used to. You know, like turning off these weird back roads and, you know, it's like, are you sure it's back here? I'm like, oh, I guarantee it's back here. You know, this is where they all are. It's cheap real estate. But no, it's always nice when you can go to one right in the middle of a town.
Yeah.
It has a whole different vibe. And
Nice drive off the beaten path to get to
the park. And I mean, one of the really nice things here, too, was, I mean, the city was so, as a governmental entity, was so welcoming of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't have an ordinance for this. You go out and find an ordinance in a small town that you like and bring it to us, we'll just plagiarize it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just like, I know so many guys, you know, working like in Chicago. Or even
they
got
to jump through so many hoops to get anything.
Jump through, and if there's anything, oh, we want to do this, like, well, we're going to need some drawings. Like, well, there's another $5,000 to the architect to change this. And we didn't have to deal with any of that. So it was a huge, huge plus.
Oh, for sure. And I got to say, that Loopy IPA, like, it's a huge, huge plus in my book.
Thank you.
That was a very solid beer. Like I said, the other ones have been great too. But I told you before, I'm an IPA guy, much like Brandon here. So that's my sweet spot.
I kind of am too. And but we have a little bit of something for everybody, from the super, super light, easy drinking up to, of course, we don't have it on now. We just brewed it for this year, but do a beautiful Russian Imperial Stout aged in bourbon barrels with coffee beans and vanilla beans. And
what's that one clocking at?
It was 11.9 going into the barrels.
Okay.
So probably we were guessing about 13 coming out.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. Not too bad.
Not too bad. I tried a 30% beer over the weekend. That was something.
Ooh. shit.
I took a sip. That was all I needed. I think Utopias was the strongest one I drank before that, and I think that maxes out at about 23, I think, or so.
Was this a BrewDog's beer? Or?
No, it was at the Peoria Beer Fest, which I was doing a live remote from, and they had these raffle beers. And you could buy tickets. And if you won, you got to go up and get a taste of something. And it was something. My buddy won it. And he's like, you need to taste this. Because I can't drink it all, and I'm going to share it with as many people as possible. And it was Skorschbach Eisbach 30. And yeah, 30%, highly aromatic through ice maturation. It wasn't as boozy as I expected a 30% to be, but it had something to it. it warmed the belly, that's for sure. Those I don't dabble with too much, but 13%, that I can hang with. So maybe next time I make it out here, that'll be back up. Because I already texted my girlfriend, Freckles, when I first got here. I'm like, you're going to like this place. We need to go to New Salem and then, you know, have some drinks afterwards and stuff.
And if you're thinking you want to make a weekend of it, there is a Airbnb right above the building right next to us. It's beautiful.
Oh, nice.
A loft on the square.
Perfect. I'm sure they appreciate a brewery being right next door.
In fact, it's my landlord.
Okay.
She bought the building and redid this upstairs, and it's beautiful. It's exposed brick, wood beams, wood floors.
Nice.
Kitchen and all that, and for like $100 a night.
Very cool.
It's awesome. So yeah, she actually rents a lot. But
we tried Airbnb for the first time when we went to Michigan. It was something that a bunch of my friends had done before, but we never had. And it was... We got looking, and my friend from the Detroit area, he found a couple in his neighborhood, and he's like, look at this one. We're like, holy shit. Like, it was a huge-ass house, and you could get a room in it for, like, $65. And I'm like, okay, so we could stay at, like, a Ramada Inn outside of town, or we could stay here in a room. I mean, these people live here, but apparently they're cool with this, and that's like, yeah, we'll do that, you know. I felt like I was in, like, the Home Alone house or something. It was, like, super, super nice.
You never know. They could be super hot nudists.
I don't know if I'd have been okay with that. They could have been really unattractive.
They could have been. Large, I mean, it's more likely that nudists. That's the case.
Right, yeah. Luckily, they were a nice couple. My girlfriend was a little weirded out at first, just, like, we're staying in somebody else's house, and, like, we're interacting with them, kind of, and it's kind of weird, but you know, door was unlocked, and yeah, we went in. Now, I'll be honest, I put our suitcases and stuff in front of the door when we went to sleep, just for peace of mind. It's like, if anybody tries coming in, I'm gonna hear it and I'll be battle ready or whatever. But it wasn't necessary.
Their cable didn't work though.
I was kind of pissed about that. We had to watch Hulu on my phone. Luckily, I could connect to Wi-Fi, so you gotta have something to watch when you get back at 11 o'clock at night after going to 3 breweries and a Red Wings game. So, all right, well, we are gonna play another song here from our band of the week. This is from the album I mentioned before, Borrowed Time. This is Nothington with I Should Say. This is an old favorite of mine. Hope you guys like it too. Here on Drunken Lullabies.
Through the rubble, now someday I'll know I tried.
That was I should say, and I do say, it's time to drink another beer. And what have we got now? It looks hard for me to read upside down.
I think we're gonna skip Hopstrosity.
Okay.
Come back to that, since you are an IPA guy. We're gonna go
we'll circle back. We Heavenly.
This is our strong Scotch ale.
You don't say.
10.2.
Okay.
I've been told that it drinks incredibly smooth for 10%.
I should say so, yes.
That's actually a huge favorite of a lot of people. This should be a seasonal beer, but I think we would have rioting if it was.
Yeah. And I notice on your board here, $5 all the way around.
We do change the size of the glasses for higher alcohol beers.
Okay. I was going to ask. I'm like, if they're getting a pint of this for $5 compared to the Harry Stout, which is only 3.7, I can see why this would be a popular choice.
So we go, we start out with pint glasses,
mm-hmm.
And go to 13-ounce and then 10-ounce for beers like this.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes more sense now.
Yeah. But yeah, we have people, one gentleman comes in here and he was like, friends always made fun of me because I didn't drink beer. I was always the pussy in the group.
Yeah.
He goes, and then I bring him here, and I'm drinking the high alcohol beer because I love this, and they're not drinking it, so now they're the pussies.
Right. How you like me now? So, yeah, this is, Scottish is, they're one I don't, if I go to a store, I'm not usually picking up a six-pack of this.
Yeah.
But if I go to a brewery and I'm doing a flight, if they have one, I'll usually throw it on. I think Robert the Bruce from Three Floyds is about the only one I've ever bought a six-pack of and brought it home, and that's just because I can't get it where I live. So it's like, well, if I want any, I got to take it with me. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I'm a hophead, so when I'm at the store, I'm usually buying IPAs or bombers of
this
sours or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but I like being as adventurous and promiscuous as possible when I go to a brewery. I want to try anything and everything. What's nice is my girlfriend is just as big of a craft beer fan as I am. So we will both get a flight with different beers.
Absolutely.
And we go halvesies.
Yep.
So,
absolutely.
If it's a flight of five, we're both trying 10 beers and it works out well for everybody.
I always recommend that. I mean, we go places, at times you're like, well, you're limited to this many samples. Like,
mm-hmm.
Well, there's five of us, so
right.
We want a sample of everything.
Yeah.
And that's normally the case when you go to a brewery. It's like, we want to taste everything you have,
mm-hmm.
and go from there with what we want to, want to have a pint of.
Right.
This, I mean, I'm, Scottish ales are just, hardly anybody seems like they do them.
No. It's not a very quote-unquote trendy style to do.
And I'm Irish and Scottish, so I kind of wanted to do some of those styles. And
you did it right.
I've always been tickled by how popular this beer has been, because the first time I brewed it, I entered it in a homebrew competition, Big Muddy Brew Fest down there, and got a blue ribbon.
Okay. You're talking down in southern Illinois?
Yeah, Murfreesboro.
Yep,
yeah.
We've been there before. Nice little place.
Yes, it is.
That one's a little off the beaten path, too.
Yes,
you know, it's
it
like
is.
A bus barn brewery, but yeah, they had free popcorn, so I was on board. I couldn't believe we did a flight there, and it was like $10. You got a pint glass and a run of the whole draft line. And I was like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, $10.
So you get fired.
You get to sample like 12 beers, and you get to take the pint glass home.
That's
like,
awesome.
Sold? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all right with that. So
do they limit you to only one $10 flight of everything, though?
What's that?
Do they limit you to just one?
I think so.
Flight?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we can sit there all afternoon. I'll have another one of those. Take a six pack of pint glasses.
Because we went down to Scratch, and then we checked out Big Muddy while we were there too. I guess there's another one called Little Egypt, but they had recently moved.
Okay.
And we were going to go check it out, and I did not know they had moved. Luckily, somebody at Scratch had mentioned it. Otherwise, we would have been traveling out of the way for nothing. So I guess that's one to check out.
Another little interesting one down there, Abbey Ridge, that actually just burnt
really
a few months ago. But it was, we went down there. It hadn't been up very long. We were down for the Big Muddy Beer Fest.
Okay.
Beautiful place. You'd expect it to have been a winery. It was out in the country. It was this beautiful building, and you sit out back, and it's just rolling hills and woods, and just Southern Illinois.
Yeah, Southern Illinois. I noticed there's not nearly as many. We're in a good area here in Central Illinois, and what's nice is you guys have, I think, the only quote brewery around here that I can think of in this director, Obed and Isaacs. Is that
Brew Pub?
Yeah.
Well, the breweries around here right now would be Rolling Meadows.
Okay.
No Tapper.
Okay.
Timotheus, no Tapper.
Yeah.
Rhinestone, no Tapper. So really, we're the only one, unless you head over to like Savoy to Triptych, that's technically a brewery and has a Tapper.
Yeah. So yeah,
we got Obed and Isaacs and Ingrained in Springfield. They're both brew pubs.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've nothing against Obed and Isaacs. I've been to the one in Peoria. They opened a new one. They took an old church and they refurbished a beautiful building.
Yeah.
And I really liked the room, and the food was great, and the beer was okay. You know, it wasn't anything that knocked my dick in the dirt and blew me away. But it's like, you know, if I was just getting into craft beer. There's several places like this where it's like, if I didn't drink as much as I do and my palate hasn't progressed as much, I would probably think these beers are great.
Yeah.
But I've traveled to other states. I've been to so many breweries and I know what's out there that my tastes are a little skewed. And that's on me, you know? So that's what I mean. I don't want to say that, well, I didn't like their beer. No, it's drinkable.
It wasn't
but
your cup of beer.
I would, like tasting these here, this is where you need to go.
And that was, I mean, before I opened, that was a little of my disappointment with Central Illinois was everybody was playing it safe.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put
it. And it's like, yeah, we're perfectly okay with putting out rather mediocre beer. And I was like, why isn't anybody doing Rockstar beers? And what I always got was Central Illinois is not ready for that.
That's what I was going to say. I think that it's more based on the Will It Play and Peoria vibe that, you know, our demographic is a little behind than most areas.
Yeah.
And I ran a record store for 10 years. I know it's true. And it's, people are starting to come around now, though. And it's gaining speed, and I think we'll hopefully see a lot of progression now.
Yeah, I think so. I think we got in the right time here, coming up on our one-year anniversary, which once this airs, I think our anniversary will be just past May 13th is
this is actually going to come out, yeah, a little bit before. I'm going to bump it up a week.
Awesome.
So,
May 13th.
Yeah, you guys got some events to promote?
We have got May 13th, our one-year anniversary. We will have a band in the afternoon, a band in the evening. We will have lots of door prizes.
Okay.
We're actually going to be the kickoff point for Rock the Dock in Springfield for a couple of the radio stations. So they're okay. coming out. Doing remotes, they'll be giving away free tickets to the Rock the Dock, okay. Which is the fireworks and music and stuff out of Lake Springfield.
Nice.
So that's coming up. We got very, very busy May, it seems like. We're going to get Chicago with Beer Under Glass. And then May 20th, we're having what we hope is the first annual Drinking with Lincoln Street Fest.
I saw that. Yeah, I'm going to be in Chicago that weekend, and that's...
Well, you should cancel that.
No, I shouldn't, because if I did, there's an event in Peoria that we promoted one of the other shows where I work at the Fox Pub. We have our annual craft beer festival out in our parking lot with like 100 craft beers on draft. And it's a really good time, and I'm bummed that I'm going to miss it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm not scheduled to work. I don't work Saturday, so the boss can't give me grief. I was just going to be there drinking and hanging out. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm kind of bummed. But, yeah, you've got plenty of options for May 20th, for sure.
Yeah.
It's, I'm glad to see events like that. You know, and you guys said it's the first of hopefully... many, and hopefully you have a really, really good turnout and people yeah. support it.
Starting out with a 5K, and then it's going to be four of the streets here blocked off, music all day. It's going to be local food, going to be barbecue. Dr. Uggs, our stablemate restaurant here in Hand of Fate, is going to be having a Bloody Mary bar.
Now, are they putting like cheeseburgers and stuff like that?
Yes, pretty much. It's like really? It's like a pheasant meal, you know,
good
stuck
Lord.
Into Bloody Mary.
That's too much. That's why I drink beer.
But yeah, there will be, of course, us serving beer. Local wineries will be here selling. Our local VFW will be providing domestics, which don't get me started on the term domestic because that's a big pet peeve of mine. Because what is more domestic than a beer that's brewed right next door to you?
Yeah.
I hate seeing craft beer. Domestic / craft imports.
Yeah. Well, I said domestic earlier.
So you did.
You don't even like me now.
I hate you.
And you know what? This is going to be a good time for us to take a break, and then Mike and I, we're going to hash things out, and we're gonna get back on the right foot. So right now, we'll take a break, and we'll listen to our friends over at the Let's Try This podcast on the FCF Network.
Hey, everyone. This is Steph from Let's Try This, your new favorite podcast. My co-host Kevin and I don't always have a lot in common, but we do happen to be married to each other, and we're not afraid to get a little passive-aggressive.
That's just what I think.
Are you serious?
Well, okay, Mrs. Perfect.
Every week we discuss stuff like professional wrestling, reality TV, pop culture, and life as newlyweds, but that's just the beginning. You can always expect us to try new things, hence the name. So buckle up and join us every Thursday for some fun and maybe even some fights on the Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network at fcfnetwork.com and everywhere you find podcasts. Let's try this because you just might like it.
And that was Let's Try This on the FCF Network. Shout out to Kev and Steph. Kevin was recently on the show, episode 73, Drunkomania 2, I believe was the episode. We sat down with some independent wrestlers and talked beer. We talked wrestling, had a lot of laughs. You guys should check it out if you haven't heard that one yet. And check out Let's Try This on the FCF Network every week. I was on their show, so you know it's good. I wouldn't sit in on another podcast if I didn't like it. All right, and I wouldn't do a show at a brewery if I didn't like it, and that is holding up true. And we got more beer to drink. We got one left here from the Hand of Fate Flight that we're
This is Hopstrosity.
Hopstrosity Double
IPA. It is
IPA.
Our Double IPA.
The DIPA.
Yes, DIPA. The DIPA.
Does anybody call that?
Yes.
Really? No,
yes.
Okay, that was kind of a joke at the Fox. There was a server that she doesn't work there anymore, but she's still a friend. And she saw a poster, and it was the beer of the month. She's like, "What's a DIPA?" I'm like, what did you say? Yeah, what's a DIPA? Like, you mean double IPA? She's like, "Oh my God." I'm like, yeah. But customers were ordering it as the DIPA. I'm like, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, I've definitely heard it. In fact, even beer geek friends.
Yeah, because you don't call IPAs IPAs. No. So it's odd that just putting a D in front of it makes it a word.
Yes.
But apparently, you know, that's just how it works. All right, so this is the Hop Strosity, 9.7%. So we're taking it down 0.5%.
Yeah.
We're still ending it strong, which that's typical fashion on this show. We start light and we just ramp it up. And usually the end of the show we drink the heavier hitters.
So yeah, this is a as a home brewer. One of my favorite beers was Bell's Hop Slam.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. This is easier drinking than Hop Slam. I like Hop Slam. I've been to Bell's. I don't know if it's just my taste buds are changing, but I had it this year, and I was drinking it, but not enjoying it nearly as much.
Exactly. And I was saying the exact same thing. I was like, is it just there's so many awesome IPAs out there?
Right.
Like this isn't living up to what I
thought
it
was. Justify paying $20 for a six pack of
it. No, and it was just, I was like, man, this is not the beer that I remember. And it seems like the last 2 years has been that way. And, you know, maybe it's widespread distribution.
Right.
Or, you know, or telling. But I always just seem like a lot of my beers start off with a muse and become their own thing.
Yeah.
I think it's a homebrew, like, oh, I love this. I want something like that. And you start working towards something like that, and you're like, ooh, but I kind of like where it's going with this, and you veer off in a different direction. So this is a beer that has...
that's a good one.
Does have honey in it.
Okay. I was going to say, this is a sweet-tasting double IPA. Mm-hmm. A lot of double IPAs, extremely bitter.
Yeah.
Usually a little tougher to drink at a quicker pace. This one is sweet and goes down quite easily.
Yeah, very good beer. And that's when I first started brewing, I hated IPAs.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it, but I hated IPAs. And you know, it was one of those kind of gateway beers. I think it was Schlafly's APA.
Okay.
I was like, oh man, this is good. I love the grapefruit notes, I love this. And then I started finding these IPAs that I liked. I always, you know, kind of compare it to like a wine drinker. You start off drinking sweet wines.
Right.
Pretty soon you hate sweet wines and you love dry wines.
I rue the day that I start hating IPAs, though. Like, where I only drink stouts. I'm going to know something went wrong when that happens. But
well, you know, I got where I started loving IPAs, but then it was like, you know what? What I really love in an IPA is the smells.
Mm-hmm.
And the flavors of those hops, and it doesn't have to be a Mikkeller 1000 IPA beer.
Right.
You know, it to me, it's not about how bitter can you make it. It's about how flavorful can you make it.
Right, yeah.
And we were just having some IPAs last night from East Coast that Virginia brought out from his area. It was just like,
what ones?
Well, there was my mom ended up coming out from Virginia a couple weeks ago, and she brought us some. Back when I lived in Virginia, back 10 years ago, a little town called Rockville, there wasn't even a stoplight, a gas station, or anything.
Right.
And now they have a craft brewery.
Oh,
so
okay.
We tried a couple of ones from them, and there was a couple good beers that we liked, and you know, the Belgian was nice, but the IPAs
the
were just...
The IPAs are the typical bitter, just the, tiny,
yeah.
And it's like, I like bold fruit flavors in IPAs. I love that, that New England IPA style, murky, lots of aromas, easy drinking
for sure. This I mean, how much honey is in this? It's more than a dollop if I'm getting that much of a...
Well, it also has honey malt in it too.
Okay.
Which gives up, because honey pretty much completely ferments out.
Yeah.
So there's honey malt in it too, which gives it a little bit of that honey flavor.
Mm-hmm.
More than the honey. And this was one too, when brewing it, I would have liked it to attenuate it a little bit farther down.
Okay.
So it's a little sweeter than what I probably would have shot for.
Okay.
That's still really like the beer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I was a little surprised when I got that first taste because it was not what I was
expecting. I mean, it's sticky. I mean, you see how it just coats.
Yeah,
coats
the lacings and everything. You done good. You done good, Mike. Excellent. Well, we typically ask guests some questions when they're on the show for the first time, and obviously you guys are on the show for the first time. What's the first craft beer that you guys remember enjoying? And you can call it a domestic craft beer if you would like, Mike.
I think the beer that was the turning point for me, and I do hate admitting this, I had a friend who brought a mix six of Michelob craft beers.
Okay.
And there was a porter in there. And that's what got me into craft beer was porters.
And interesting.
I had that and I was like, oh, wow, I really. I was not a big beer drinker beforehand. I was a bourbon guy. I would go out with friends and we'd drink beers, but you wouldn't find domestics in my house because I just didn't like them. And I had that Michelob porter and I was like, I don't look forward to having this. Well, then first thing I was go out and start searching a little bit about porters and got turned on to Fuller's London Porter.
Okay.
I was like, oh shit, this is a beer. And so for the longest time, it was porters, stouts, and kind of developed from there. And when I started brewing, I mean, that was a big thing. We don't have it on right now. We have some kegs back there, but Debauchery is my Imperial Porter. It was the first recipe that I actually ever really worked on developing.
Okay.
And we do so much stuff with it. Sometimes we put vanilla in it and make it a vanilla Imperial Porter. We've aged it in red wine barrels.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, you don't hear that with porters too much.
We did a cask with cinnamon, vanilla beans, and coffee beans, and it was like, it's like your cup of coffee and a cinnamon roll in a glass.
Tastes like breakfast.
Good Lord.
It was amazing.
Sounds awesome.
We bumped the alcohol back, and you made it a still an Imperial, but not quite a 8.2 or something porter. But it's just a beer
as long
that
as it
I,
tastes
I love.
Good. That's the important thing, you know.
Yeah. That's what really got me into craft beer, which very shortly got me into brewing.
Okay, Brandon, how about you?
Mine was actually Big Sky Brewery,
Missoula, Montana.
Out of Missoula, yep, yeah. We traveling the racing circuit. We used to stop, go through Montana several times, and we made it to Missoula a little bit late for the brewery tour or go to see the brewery, but we were able to get some of the local, Big Sky Brewery beer there, and the two beers from them that kind of got me in was Moose Drool.
Yep, we've had that on the show before.
And Trout Slayer. I really like Trout Slayer.
I don't think I've had that one.
That was a very good, hoppy beer that got me into, interest into the whole craft brewery. So.
Yeah, it's always... It's just interesting to see what people's
gateway
into.
What was your gateway?
Mine, it's a gateway that is very common with a lot of people.
You
start with your Blue Moons, and then you ease into like your Line and Kugel variety packs, and then it's like okay, you got your Snowdrift Porter in there. You've got your Shandies, you've got, this and that. And then from there, it's like, okay, I'm going to check out some other stuff. And I kind of jumped in the deep end when I got into it because it was like, all right, yeah, fuck it. Let's go to Three Floyds and let's go to Four Hands and all this kind of stuff. And, I kind of floored it. When I got into it, it's like full speed ahead. And I got on Untappd, and I was accumulating a ridiculous amount of beers, and it still just keeps a ticking, but doing a podcast like this, you're trying, up to 10 new beers a week, typically. That'll accumulate. And
very quickly.
But it's fun, it's like Pokemon. I'm never going to catch them all, but I want to drink as many as I can.
Exactly.
So, all right, well, while we finish up the Hopstrosity here, we're going to play one more song from our band of the week, From Nothington. This is our final song for the show. This is The Lies I Need off their new album, In the End, on Red Scare Records. Go check it out. But enjoy this track here. on Drunken Lullabies. That was The Lies I Need by Nothington. And I asked the guys, I was like, hey, you know, what are some of the beers you guys enjoy drinking? And Anchor Steam was the first one they mentioned. They said that is a good tasty beer with a meal out in California. But they're a traveling punk rock band. So this next answer didn't surprise me at all. I mostly drink Pabst when I'm out because it's in my price range and it's light and I don't like Budweiser. If I'm at a corner store, I generally go for the Modelo. So, you know, those punk rock guys, it's all about price lines. And I've drank my fair share of PBR tall boys. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
I've drank my fair share of Modelos.
Yeah.
We have the Los Rancheros, the Mexican place here in Petersburg.
Okay.
And the best craft offerings are Blue Moon or Modelo Negro.
Okay.
And I'll take the Negro all day long.
Yeah. Yep. And that one doesn't come in a green or a clear bottle, so it's not going to be skunky when you open it.
Indeed.
That's usually the
Pacifico is what I go for over there.
The like plight Pacifico. Of those Mexican beers. All right. Well, we're calling an audible. we're running good on time, and we're having good conversation, and Mike said, fuck it, let's do it. So what are we doing here?
This is the three different barrels of Fleur de Funk.
Okay.
They're each different. The first one has not had any treatment to it. It is starting to develop a small amount of funk, but it's mostly just red wine, oak-aged saison.
Yeah, I get a little bit of the oak and the wine for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is step one in the process. How long did you put this in?
We put all these in barrels September of last year.
Okay.
So not a huge amount of time.
Yeah. You know, almost half a year.
Yeah. So it's like you said, it's actually about a month ago there really wasn't any of the tartness there, and it's starting to
form. Yeah, I mean, it's not molar shocking levels or anything. We'll save that for later.
Yes, it's coming. Yes, it's coming. For sure.
No, it's fun tasting beers in development.
Yeah.
That's another perk that this podcast has afforded me. I've been given private tours from some breweries, and when we did our first show at Distill, after they sponsored us, we got to drink stuff. They pulled the nail, and we drank stuff right out of the barrel, and it was like, yeah, this isn't going to get bottled for quite a while. It's like, that's fucking awesome that we're getting to taste this. And White Oak, our friends at White Oak, I was tasting stuff before carbonation and all this kind of stuff. And I can appreciate, like, I can taste it, and it's like, I know where it's going. And I know I'm going to dig it when it gets there.
Yeah.
You know, it's, if that was the finished product, I might not enjoy it so much. But it's like, no, it's in its development. It's those awkward teenage years.
Yes.
But you can see it's going to be a hot, hot piece of ass by the time it's done. And what? I'm on board. I'll ride out the awkward teen years, and then, you know.
Speaking of White Oak, love those guys. Brian's amazing.
He's all right.
Waldo, though, is my man. I love Waldo.
They're good dudes. White Oak has been a good friend to the show, and that was one of the reasons I got led here was, you know, Brian giving you guys high praise, and if he's got good things to say about you, I trust his opinion.
He's drank a beer too.
Casual Jesus knows a thing or two about beer. So, all right, well, I finished my first one, so now we're moving on to the second.
This is the second one.
Second stage.
This is just a little bit more tart, a little bit of pellicle floating in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, that you got a little bit of little sediment there at the top there.
The last two barrels got treated with dregs from some of our favorite beers.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, this one was... was the Prairie Brett B.
Oh, okay.
That went into this and directed that. It's kind of a pleasant, fruity tartness to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, not nearly overwhelming. It's very mild. And
But Fleur de Fate earlier, it tastes nothing like it.
Correct, yeah. It's a totally... totally different thing. So it's evolving for sure over that 6 month period. Now, when was this one put in?
They were all put in the same
all
time.
All same time. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting to see what half a year can do.
Still get a little oak, but that barnyardy funk is
starting to bloom. Yeah, and you guys have them. I mean, the barrels are right here on the floor, so anybody hanging out here can see them. You guys don't have, like, you haven't got to a huge barrel room yet.
Not yet.
You're not at that point. You're keeping them out of direct sunlight, which is a good thing. They're temperature controlled. From
did just buy another building.
Oh yeah.
That is going to be mostly storage, but I foresee that as possibly in a lot of where our barrel aging stuff gets done.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Every week I walk in this building, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So yeah, looking expanding pretty shortly.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a good problem to have.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's still a problem, but it's a good problem.
Yes, good problem. You find interesting ways for storage to hang shelves and get stuff up out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys, you've got stuff. You got space up here. You could, you know, put some boards up and store some things in the high ceilings if you really needed to. In the ductwork.
So this one here is had dregs from. My favorite beers are Belgian Gooses.
Okay.
And so this has had dregs from Dreyfontaine,
nice.
Beersel, Cantillon.
Mm-hmm.
So
we drank a 3F beer a couple weeks ago. It was the Herfst. It was part of a series based on the seasons, and there was the Herfst was the autumn one.
Okay.
And our friend Pat Hartzler, when we were promoting the Peoria Beer Fest, he pulled that whale out of his stash, and we got to drink that. And that was my pick of the week.
Nice.
There wasn't anything topping that day. And he even pulled out a 2005 Sam Aiel from Avery that he'd been sitting on for. That was the oldest beer he had in his stash, and we drank that. And it's funny how it just to taste how it changed over 12 years. And I was like, this beer is almost as old as my daughter. I've got a 15-year-old, and like to think that I'm drinking a beer that was made in her early years and we're drinking it now. It got very sweet, and the caramel notes came out
nice.
A lot, and you know, it wasn't nearly as hot, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, that'll mellow a bit after a decade and a half. But yeah, it's always fun to just, I don't have the patience for it though. So if other people want to, that's fine. But if I buy a beer, it's usually getting drank within a year, if anything.
I've learned to buy a few.
Yeah.
And drink one now and then stash. But I will say I was lucky enough, a little while ago, I was able to get a 15-year-old Ute Beersel Guza. Of course, I didn't need to sit on that.
Right, yeah, and if it's 15, I was going to say, are you holding on to it still?
No. It was amazing. I mean, I've often had these, you know, 2013, whatever, and you look, it says good till, you know, 2030.
Right, yeah, the Cantillon always, it's like, I think they're in the 2020s or something like that.
Yeah, but it was
There's
amazing.
No way it would last that long.
Good friends with also the guys in the Reich Brew Crew, which is a brewery on a collectible club.
Okay.
In Springfield, Illinois, which is where Reich Brewing Company was at. Of course, long defunct. But they had bought the rights to the name, one of the members did, so the Reich Brew Crew. And I went to one of their meetings, and somebody brought, and I don't even remember what the beer was, but it was a cone top can.
Interesting.
It was 60 years old, and it was full.
60?
Yes. And we opened it and drank it.
And how bad was your diarrhea the next day?
I mean, honestly, I mean, I only got a little sip. There's like 20 of us here, so
yeah,
you can talk,
yeah.
Taking this can. So, I mean, it's just literally you're getting a sip. But, I mean, I can honestly say I've had worse fresh beers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it was drinkable. I've had beers that
That's
I
crazy.
Wouldn't drink. But, yeah, it was just like, holy shit, I have this chance to drink this.
Yeah.
6-year-old piece of history. I got to do even if I
no,
puke
yeah,
afterwards.
You have to. You have to, just for the story. And yeah, this.
Number 3 is funky.
Number 3, yeah.
It's got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. And remind us again when our. Well, like I said, it's hard to put a timetable.
It is.
But ideally, how long are you wanting to let those sit for a while?
We're looking at, or hoping within the next month or so, we'll actually get them bottled.
Okay.
And then allow them to bottle condition. So we're looking probably mid to late summer when they'd be released.
Yeah. Number 3.
Definitely a beer that could.
Was pretty damn tasty.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it can get a little funkier and
oh
and
for sure I mean the these definitely beers that you could set back in your cellar and and let develop for a while
for sure
yeah. They've changed every month we've tasted them they change every time
yeah
and we're looking forward to we just picked up some more barrels and We're actually developing. Anytime I get an interesting beer that's a funky beer, and
yeah,
I like to keep it, put a little starter in it. Mm-hmm. In fact, we just had one of our regular customers come in, and he's a pilot, flies all over the world. So he comes up with some amazing beers, and he brought
good friend to have.
Yes, he brought a Cantillon Creek Lambic Bio.
And, oh, nice!
And shared it with us, and you know, we left the dregs in there. And as we were doing a yeast starter, we're like, "Hey, dump some in that bottle."
Mm-hmm.
And we took off right away. It's like, this is going in a barrel by itself.
Now, we've mentioned, you know, like Cantillon. I imagine you haven't been there?
No, I have not.
All right, so I'm sure that's on your bucket list.
Brewery. Yes, it is.
What are some of the, your favorite breweries that you've actually been to? For both of you.
For me, tap room wise, because the brewing isn't actually done there, it'd be side project.
Okay. St. Louis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
take your credit card.
Yeah. Yeah, we sat
if you
and drank,
have not seen their list, their bottle list.
Yeah, it's,
it must be drank on site, and you're looking at a high price tag on some of those.
Well, we went and we drank the bad thing was we started with the $20 bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the $40 bottle of Pulling Nails, and it was a blend of like three different years, which was amazing.
Yeah, some of those Pulling Nails are great.
And then we came back to the $30 bottle. I'm like, oh, we should have just done this in progressive order, because it was good, but it wasn't the you know. So there's basically three of us sitting here, and we just drank, you know, $100 of beer in an hour.
Yeah, you can't do that too often.
Yeah, no, it's but it amazing place. I mean, even the stuff that isn't theirs that they have on tap there is pretty amazing. Exit 6 in Missouri. Cullerton, Missouri, something like that. Tiny little brewery. But they have a lot of amazing beers in there too. And that's a place I walked in and they had bottles of Cantillon, which had to be drank on site.
Yeah. Now, if you've been to Side Project, you know, in St. Louis, have you checked out Alpha before?
I haven't been to Alpha yet.
Okay. I would recommend it. I mean, they've got their Alpha, but I think what you'll dig is the beta.
Yeah, I've heard about it.
And the beta is pretty solid. We went there last year on a weekend getaway. My girlfriend and I checked it out on a recommendation from our friend Zach. And he knows we like sours, and we got a flight. And she went heavier on the Alpha, and I went heavier on the beta. You know, and we traded, and we both agreed the beta was where it's at. And then we took the kids to the City Museum, which is right down the alley.
Which is awesome.
From Alpha. We went on the one day a week that Alpha's closed, because I was wanting to buy some bottles to take home. I'm like, of course, they're not open. So, Brandon, what are some of your
favorite
breweries?
I haven't really been to too many tap rooms.
Okay.
You know, traveling the country, I've been all over every state there is, but the team that I was involved with was a non-drinking team. So, respectfully, we didn't, you know, manage to go to too many of them at all. But one of the ones that was most interesting that we just did when we went up there to the Cass Festival up in Chicago is stopping by Revolution.
And nice.
Revolution was a very nice place. I mean, they had great beer. The
this
atmosphere
was
awesome.
The food was amazing.
I've been there before.
Yeah. And it was neat, because I haven't really had much time to really go around and hit up too many different small breweries or large breweries or you know whatnot.
There's a lot to take in.
Yeah, but Revolution Brew Pub was nice.
We told them we're gonna. From here, we regularly kind of go to Chicago because you can hop on the Amtrak at 6:30 in the morning. Yep. Be up there by 10.
Nice.
Hop in mass transit, hit three or four breweries, sober up on the train back.
There you go. If you want to sober up.
Yeah.
You can still drink on Amtrak.
If you want to drink really high dollar
Miller Lite,
or they got some Goose Island.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, you don't bring your own back on the train with you?
I think they frown on you having your own alcohol.
Yeah, they've never said anything to me when I did it.
We usually do, and it's usually like cases of bottles from West Lakeview Liquors.
Yeah, when I would ride the train, I would usually hit a Benny's or something before I came back. So I always had a six pack of something in my carry on, so crack one of those open and sit here and drink it. Yeah. If I cover up the label, they don't know what I got.
Now, I haven't been up to Transients,
Okay. Place in Michigan yet. I've heard that's pretty amazing, so I'd like to do that. And another big one that I got to go visit sometime in the near future would be Jester King.
Oh, yeah. And what's great, I'm supposed to be going to Texas in July. And believe you me, that is one of the top things on my list of things to do is to hit Jester King. And then I want to see a game at Minute Maid Park in Houston. Yes. Like those are probably my two things. I'm a baseball guy and I'm a beer guy. So
when I got a little in at Jester King.
Oh, do you now?
The whole Hand of Fate thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of little things. But my landlord, one of her best friends from college, is one of the original investors in Jester King.
Nice.
So before I opened, they had a bunch of hops to get rid of.
Uh-huh.
I bought a bunch of their hops. They went and visited. I haven't had a chance to be there yet, but they sent back a mixed six-pack of some of their amazing beers. I did get a chance to go meet them in Chicago. They did a collaboration with West Lakeview Liquors up in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
She sourced mezcal barrels for them. And they ate some of their beer in there. So I got to meet the guys up there. But like I said, the guy's still an investor, so I'm definitely going to go out and stay with them and go visit them. And
yeah,
I'm really looking forward to it.
Take advantage of that.
Yeah.
By all means. All right. Well, we enjoyed the funk, and now we're going to get wild. It is time for what we here call the Sponsor Spotlight.
Hip hop, hip hop. My voice is like a monster. And now a word from our sponsor.
All right, it is time for the Sponsor Spotlight. And this week, I went with the Distill Wild Sour, the Plum Sour Stout. Now, I will say, Mike, I messaged you beforehand.
You did?
And I said, hey, we're going to be doing our Sponsor Spotlight. I got a bunch of the Distill Wild Sours. I got this one. I got that one. What's your favorite? And what'd you say?
The Plum Sour Stout.
The Plum Sour Stout. So, you know what? I did him a solid. He's doing me a solid sitting in on the show. So I brought the one that he prefers. And this is the Plum Sour Stout. It rebels against style boundaries as it opens with a bold fusion of fruitiness and chocolatey roast. Dark fruit flavors then take hold, evoking memories of plum jam and chocolate-covered cherries to bring everything into balance. The result is a light-bodied and refreshingly tart stout that's just plum sour. Cheers! 5.6%. I've talked about this on the show before. This is a good introductory sour.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's not abrasive. It's not too in your face on the tartness. The fact that it's a stout accentuates, you know, it helps that out big time.
I mean, I've had a lot of sour stouts. The stout completely disappeared in them.
Jester King was one of, or no, hold on. I don't think it was Jester King. It was called Black Metal. I'm trying to remember.
That's a Jester King.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
That was a sour stout. I think that was the first one I ever had.
And
I was like, oh, yeah, okay. That was my pick of the week. And I was like, all right, so sour stouts. I can drink a sour stout easier than I can drink a stout.
Yeah. This is, I mean, of this, like I said, it's so nice. There's so much more going on than just the tartness. You get that the coffee and the chocolate. And the dark fruit tartness. And it is a really nice beer.
Blends nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we feature a lot of the wild sours, and I always find it interesting to make people drink them that have never had them before and get their reaction. And it's an interesting experience sometimes, and I'm like, I'm going to pour this, don't drink it until we're back on the air and we're recording, because I want this documented. And that's the thing, they're like, well, I don't want to, like, if I don't like it, I don't want to shit on your sponsor. And it's like, no, like, everybody has their own opinion, and it's well established.
Yeah.
It took me 2 years to get into, sours, and they're my second favorite style now.
Yeah.
Your palate is ever evolving. I enjoy these. I can't drink them as often as I like, just due to heartburn issues.
Bingo.
They're good in limited quantities, but I pull one out once a week for the show, and I usually enjoy at least one more.
Yeah,
that's usually all I can handle.
Well, we have small middle America town brewery. We have our Goza.
Yeah, the what goes around,
and it's one of those people like, well, what is that? I'm like, well, I think lemon warheads with the salty finish.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, huh? Like, all right, try this. But it takes three sips to decide if you love it or hate it.
Right.
And it's going to be one of those. There's not a whole lot of in between.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is. It's crazy. And like, as a brewer, you know, we understand. Like, people say, well, I don't want to shit on your sponsor because I don't like the beer.
Yeah.
As a brewer, I know if a beer that I made is good, if it's true to style. If you don't like it, that's okay.
Yeah.
You don't like it. I got somebody you else like it. Like,
somebody else you know? Will. Yeah, exactly.
There's beers that I brew. Rarely you'll ever find me drinking. Because it's just not what I like to drink.
Yeah. But you still know it's a good one.
It's a good one. And, yeah. And other people love it. So it's, I mean, that's an important thing. I mean, you know, a lot of people that brewery-wise, like, I just want to brew what I love. Well, you're missing out on a lot of the, you know, a lot of the market then.
Right. I mean, because, you know, there's some breweries right now that are just focusing on the IPAs.
Yeah.
Especially New England style, you know, and that's, they're throwing all their eggs in that basket, which it's a very in fad beer at the moment. However, that may change soon, and people, the market will get oversaturated. People won't be as interested. They're going to move on to whatever's next.
Yeah.
And you know, it's that's why it's good to have the variety, because otherwise if
sure.
all you're making is just these hazy IPAs and stuff, that's,
and as much as I love these hazy IPAs, what they are is the tail end of the IPA fad.
Mm-hmm.
It's morphed into that, and it's either going to morph into something else or it's going to slowly kind of fade away and come into, I mean, sour seems like it's been the next kind of fad. It's not going to get the momentum that IPAs had because some people just can't drink them.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I definitely see. It's like you said, you just stay away from the fads. I mean, you can brew in that, but brew other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, we were talking about, you know, you make beers that aren't necessarily your favorite style.
Absolutely.
But you still know it's good. Have you ever made a beer and it didn't turn out, and you were like, "No, I'm not gonna put this out." One, what do you do with the beer? Do you drink it yourself, or do you just dump it?
You do a
big old drain pour.
You do a big old drain pour.
Okay.
And that, and luckily only, well, I'll say twice now. And one of them was an experimental batch. But the first one I had our Scottish.
It's got to be heartbreaking.
It is, but it's less heartbreaking than putting a beer out that people love.
Yeah.
And they're like, this tastes like shit. This isn't that beer.
Okay.
To me, that, I mean, we had one batch of our Scottish Dalriada, which is a huge, huge seller.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect storm of things happened on the brew day. The worst of which was my glycol chiller crapped out as we were knocking out, and it ended up in the fermenter at 85 degrees. It took me about 5 hours to get it figured out, got the glycol chiller fixed, got it cooled down. I knew within a day or two, it was like, I'm getting black licorice flavors, which this beer shouldn't have. Like, I'm going to let it finish fermenting out, see what happens. It hit terminal gravity, took a drink, and opened the drain.
Yeah.
Flush it down. Like, I can't serve this.
Right.
The only other beer is an experimental beer, and we're working with a gentleman who has a very good friend who has a brewery in England. And he loves this beer, and it's always served on cask. It's a session English bitter.
Okay.
And the guy gave me the recipe. I gave his friend the recipe. He's like, here, if you can find a brewery to do this, great. And he's built this little pub over in small town Ashland, Illinois. He built a beer engine to serve it on, so we'll do it in cask. We did the first rendition of it, never having tasted the beer.
Mm-hmm.
He came up with a bottle of it. We tasted it, and I said, no.
Okay.
This is not, so, you know, it was a small batch, so we're like, we're dumping this, and we're starting again. Our hop profile was much stronger than what was in that beer. So I said, we need to do this again.
And sometimes, you know, things won't go right the way you expect, but it still turns into a drinkable beer.
Absolutely.
And you can put out a new one, probably be a one and done. Yeah. I know some breweries that have done this, and it pained me to know that, like, I really liked this. Yeah. I know it was a mistake, but I'm never going to get to drink this again, and I wish you could replicate it, because I dig whatever happened. But yeah, you haven't had one of those yet?
Not too much. Our Saison, the Sour Saison, when I brewed that, it was a couple generations into the yeast.
Okay.
And, of course, a Saison should be a nice dry beer, and it did just not attenuate the way that I wanted. Still very good beer, but yeah, not as dry as I wanted. We put a little bit on tap. A lot of people liked it better because it wasn't as dry, but I was like, I'm not happy with it. So the majority of it went into the barrels, and we're like, we're going to put some stuff in here that'll eat those sugars. And so this one of them, I think, will turn into an amazing beer. We've had one beer that's actually on right now. Tipping Cows is our chocolate milk stout. And I went to brew it, and
I see that on the list.
Tipping Cows is not on there, but Mad
Cow. I see
Cow
Mad
is.
Cow.
Mad Cow is, and that's a variation.
Okay.
Because one of the big grains in it was unavailable at that time. So I switched it out for something else, and it changed the beer drastically. It almost turned it into a nut brown milk stout.
Oh.
Which a lot of people love. I had somebody has a restaurant in Springfield the other day, like, we want a keg of this now. But...
It wasn't the beer
that we normally did.
Right.
It changed differently, and like, we can't call it that, but it's still a good drinkable beer.
Right.
We had good feedback on it. So it's,
It's always nice when you get those happy accidents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, usually at this point of the show, we do our picks of the week, but I don't expect you guys to choose a favorite out of your own beer. So we're just gonna say they're all good. We're not going to make you choose. You're not doing the Sophie's Choice, where, you know, you have to proclaim one beer is better than your other, because your beer are your children. You know, for they all have a special feeling for you.
Yes,
so,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so we're just gonna say, hey, you need to come to Hand of Fate. You need to taste them all yourself. Bring a friend, share a flight, and you can taste them all. I mean, if you want to do a flight and taste them all yourself, that's fine, but...
Bring a driver,
looking at the ABVs, or plan on staying at the Airbnb upstairs.
Absolutely.
But I want to thank you guys for joining us today. Mike, Brandon, you've been fantastic. The beer lived up to the hype. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I will be packing up the equipment, getting my growler out of my car and bringing it in for a refill before I head home, because Freckles is going to be pissed if I don't bring any of this home. So is there anything else you guys want to plug? I know we mentioned, you know, the Street Fest and anything. Where can people find out information about the brewery, find you on social media?
Big thing right now is follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram. One of our servers is amazing. She posts every single day on both of them. Our website's not up to snuff at the moment, but we've just brought somebody on within the next month. It's going to be, we're going to have it up where we want it. We thought we could do it ourselves, and we just don't have the time to do that. So, no, don't use that.
I just hear that on podcasts all the time. Everybody wants to use Foursquare. We don't use Foursquare either.
Yeah, so we've got a guy who's actually coming in our 1-year anniversary. He's going to be doing video, photography, and going to get our website up to snuff, which is www.handoffatebrewing.beer. It's just not phenomenal right now, but in a couple of months it'll
get there.
Yeah. But yeah, if you want to follow us, know what's going on, Facebook, Hand of Fate Brewing Company, and Instagram.
Facebook's where I found them, and they respond to messages. It says right on the thing, replies within minutes.
Yes.
Mike's on top of things.
Absolutely.
So, all right, and you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Drunken Lullabies Podcast. If you want to be a part of an upcoming episode, send us an email and feedback. I will make you a part of Drunkamaniac Mail,
at drunkenlullabiespodcast@yahoo.com. We'll read them on the air. Any beer recommendations, comments, whatever. You can talk about a beer you drink. You can talk about a band you like, a band we should check out. Whatever. Just send it in. We want feedback. Let us know you're enjoying the show. We like knowing you're out there. And as always, check out the other shows on the FCF Network. We're giving you guys content for free 7 days a week. There's plenty of shows to listen to. Couch Pilots, IBWIP, Let's Try This, Low Blow Podcast, Song Inside Out, Sex with Heather. They're all on there. Enjoy. And until next week, this is the voice saying, may your music be loud and your beers be cold. We'll see you next time.
This has been a Fakakta Comedy Funhouse production, produced by Dustin Wyckoff, executive produced by Blake Clayton. For more information and content, go to fcfnetwork.com.